Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Life, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we always want to remind you to join us in a Zoom session right after this. If you're getting the e-newsletter or the weekly update, you'll find the Zoom link in there. So please join us in that right after this service. And we're going to get started with Pamela.
Okay, thanks. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, November the 7th. The key words are divine order, and the affirmation is, I live in harmony with the divine order. Life is in constant motion, even if that motion is imperceptible to me. When I feel stuck in a place or impatient with my progress, I consider the gradual yet orderly pattern of the seasons as they change. The single golden leaf I notice one day will become part of a blaze of color just a few weeks later. The brisk chill in the morning air soon will lead to biting cold and snow. The first tender seedlings of spring will bring bright blooms and a verdant canopy, followed by the long, sultry days of summer. Little by little, one season turns into the next. My growth and understanding may happen in much the same way. Even if I don't notice changes day to day, my life is always in motion and in order. The scripture is James 2:22. You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was brought to completion by the works. Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So, good morning. Today the title is The Dilemma of Knowing and Not Knowing. It's real interesting in terms of, you know, coming up with these lessons every week, because we're basically circling around a specific idea. There's a story of one of the Unity ministers who ministered of a very, very large Unity church, who retired. And when he was asked why he was retiring, he said, it's because I know 50 things, and I've taught all 50 things, so now I'm kind of done, right? But in my mind, even if I know 50 things, there are still 50 things to know about each one of those things. So it's always this idea of going deeper and deeper into this concept of how do we awaken and make this true connection with spirit, right? So that's what this lesson is going to be about. And this lesson may be a series of lessons, I'm not sure, but this lesson is about exploring what you know and do not know about the true nature of your own being and how that corresponds to your relationship with God or universal consciousness or whichever term feels more in alignment with your sense of divine connection. Okay. Now, the problem with this exploration is that a lot of what we know is reliant on what our outer world wants us to know. Our outer world being parents, relatives, teachers, preachers, friends, politicians, and a host of other people in our lives, and life events and circumstances that are influencers in our lives. And what is interesting about, you know, is whether or not you accept or reject that which is seeking to influence you, we still are being influenced in some way because we have a tendency to allow this process of accepting and rejecting to take up space in our mind. And anything that takes up space in our minds is somehow influencing us. So the goal of this lesson is for us to become self-reliant in discovering and knowing the real truth about ourselves and our relationship with the divine. That's what we're looking at, discovering, you know, and knowing the real truth about ourselves and our relationship with the divine. Now, to paraphrase again, Sun Bear, you know, I've looked at his book before, walk in balance. He says, learning to be self-reliant is healing yourself, and healing yourself is of utmost importance. The stronger and healthier we become as spiritual seekers, the more strength and courage we will have to give to the continual healing of ourselves. Good spiritual health makes it easier for us to do our part in the universe and for us for each of us to fulfill our personal life visions. To have a lifetime's plan of action to support and promote your spiritual, physical, emotional, and mental well-being is definitely a wise path to walk. Okay. So the challenge in this process, though, of self-reliance for the purpose of self-healing is trying to separate reality from perception. Okay, and we talk about that a lot. Reality being what is divinely true for us, and perception being our limited view of what we believe to be true for us. And the reason it is such a challenge is because from where we are right now in consciousness, perception is really our reality. Even though as truth students we intellectually know better, all right, we know that our perception is not our true reality, but it still, for most part, is our perception is what gives us what we call our reality. So if we look at the definition, the dictionary defines reality as that which exists objectively, objectively of whatever you think, that's what exists. Meaning reality exists outside of our human subjective perception. Now, Plato called this reality that lies outside of our human subjective perception, he called it the world of being. If we relate that to what Jesus was saying, Jesus calls that world of being the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so the world of being or the kingdom of heaven exists outside of our subjective perception. And from this lesson, we want to begin to realize that not understanding or agreeing with another person's perception doesn't mean that the other person is wrong and your perception is right. Right? What it does indicate is that the perceptions that are creating your reality are not the same as the perceptions that are creating the other person's reality. Okay? And that's probably what causes one of the biggest rifts between, different factions and people and us and whatnot in our lives, is not understanding why another person's perception is not the same as ours. And it is not. Okay? Your perceptions are different because the nature of your individual consciousness is different. And my perceptions are different because the nature of my individual consciousness is different. And if you find that you are irritated by other people's perceptions because they are different from yours, it's a signal that you are stuck within your own perception of reality. You are stuck within your own perception of reality. You're not open to, potentially, to what other people, the way other people see things. Now, again, not something to categorize as right or wrong. We're not saying that, when your perceptions are different from somebody else's, they are different from yours. That's not really something to categorize as being right or wrong. Rather, it is just an observation that leads to a greater knowing about ourselves, okay? So we're trying to really understand the depths of our own being. And if we look at Lamentations 3:4, excuse me?
340.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. 340. Let us examine our ways and test them. Let us examine our ways and test them. That's the idea that, when you're observing how you're showing up in the world and it's just creating some kind of a dynamic, you want to examine your ways and test them. And he says, let us return to the Lord being the activity of our spiritual I am, which we return to in prayer and in silence. Okay, so when you find that you're in opposition with something, and with a person, with life or whatever, returning to the Lord is just becoming still. And in that stillness, you begin to start to get clarity as to what is unfolding in this experience that you're having. Okay, so the philosophical definition of reality is that which has necessary existence and not contingent existence. Let me say it again. This is a philosophical definition of reality. is that which has necessary existence and not contingent existence. The word necessary means absolutely essential, indispensable. Okay, but on the other hand, a simple but incomplete way to define contingent existence is that it is conditional, all right? Meaning how one interprets an experience is contingent upon that person's perception. And it's typically unlikely that two people will experience the same thing in exactly the same way, all right? Even husband and wife, Pam and I, you know, they always experience the exact same thing in the same way. Brothers and sisters don't experience the exact same thing in the exact same way. We have a close friend who has twins, you know, and they're in their 40s, and they don't see the exact same thing in the exact same way, okay? So, and this is because it is the perception of the ego that is the driving force behind what the individual experiences as being his or her reality. And yes, there are collective realities. The contingency that the group is tied together by, you know, similar psychological, emotional bonds. But even within homogeneity, there is heterogeneity, meaning even as we walk together, we each are on our own journey trying to filter out the delusions of our perceptions so we can get to know at least a sense of what is really real for us, okay? And that's what we're doing. We're in this journey trying to figure out what is really real for me, okay? Because what is really real for me, most likely it will not be really real for you. Not in the exact same way, all right? So with so many different perceptions about the things that are occurring in our lives, how do we come to know what is really real? Now, let me say it again. How do we come to know? Remember, the dilemma of knowing and not knowing. So how do we come to know what is really real? How do we unravel the mystery of knowing while at the same time not really knowing what we think we know about ourselves? Okay, so we're trying to unravel this mystery of knowing God, but do we really know about ourselves? So to do this, I'm going to move into a discussion that's going to take us in a slightly different direction to try to unravel the mystery of not truly knowing what we think we know by trying to understand how our mind works with what it believes to be true. Okay, so we're going to move into a little bit different dynamic. And in the book, From Science to God, the author, Peter Russell, he asked the question, which story should we believe? The discoveries of scientists like Copernicus and Darwin, should we believe that story? Or the creation story as described in the Bible? Okay. Now, this is very close to a valves survey that the students have to take. And the question in there is, do you believe with absolute truth that it's the absolute truth that the Bible was created in 6 days? I keep trying to get them to understand that that's really not asking what it's asking, okay? It's trying to get at what is your belief system based on? So the author makes a statement that the Bible is a text whose only authority is itself. Think about it. And the question becomes, how do we prove the principles expressed in the Bible so that we may understand the divine knowing it is pointing us to, okay? So the debate between science and God, the empirically proven versus the self-proclaimed, has caused many people to become disillusioned with church and religion. Okay. It has even steered people towards atheism or agnosticism. Now, and that process, they're giving up the whole religious scene because of the lack of factual, embraceable explanations. Now, if we were in person, I'd be asking, how many people know the difference between an atheist and an agnostic? Okay. So an atheist is one who denies the existence of God. All right. To an atheist, there just is no God. All right. Clear cut, there's no God. Whereas an agnostic is defined as one who believes that you cannot prove or disprove the existence of God. Okay, closer to what we're talking about in this talk, you know, the dilemma of knowing but not knowing, all right? So an agnostic believes that an absolute knowing about the existence of God or absolute truth is unattainable. But curiously, whereas the atheist says there is no God, period. The agnostic believes there can be no proof of the existence of God. They do not deny the possibility that God exists. Okay? So it's sort of this idea of, I cannot know with absolute certainty. You can't prove that to me. All right. So I believe that we are all in search of some proof, all of us, some way of knowing that God is real and present in our lives and affairs, which would give us a way to come to know a greater truth about ourselves. In other words, we absolutely knew that God was active in our life and affairs, that there is God. And this divine activity is active in our life and affairs. Okay, it would also give us a greater sense and truth, a greater truth about ourselves. So we're not quite agnostic in the full sense of the definition, but we are also not fully Gnostic either. Okay, a Gnostic is one who values the revealed knowledge of God. In other words, a Gnostic is not searching for an intellectual understanding. Rather, it is an inner knowing of the power and presence of God that the Gnostic seeks. Right? And a person gains gnosis, and I'll explain gnosis meaning knowledge, from actually experiencing the divine in his or her life and affairs, thus coming to know themselves as being the instrument or conduit of the power and presence of God flowing through them. Okay? So, again, to be a little bit clear, this idea, and I think I did mention this in last week's talk, the idea of gnosis, of knowing, okay? And a Gnostic is one who comes to know the truth through acquaintance, I think is what I said last week. And acquaintance means through the experience of, okay? So that, you know, that this for ourselves, once we, when we get that idea that there truly is God active in my life and affairs, then it helps us to understand that we're the instrument or conduit through which the power and presence of God is flowing into our lives. So gnosis is the intuitive apprehension of spiritual truth. To apprehend is to capture. So intuitive apprehension of spiritual truth is to capture it in your heart, mind, and soul. To come to know the reality of God is truly active in your life and affairs. So for gnosis, or being a Gnostic, is what we're striving for, even though we have tendencies flip back and forth between an agnostic and a Gnostic. Right? One who is not sure, it's not being proven to them, as opposed to one who is absolutely sure. And once the reality of God is captured within your being, the perceived reality of your ego is transcended. Let me say it again, okay? Because right now we're operating from the perceptions of our ego. But once the reality of God is captured within your being, the perceived reality of the ego is transcended, okay? So once you have touched gnosis, if your health appears to be lacking, you're going through something, or your resources appear to be lacking, or there's other struggles going on in your life, once you have touched gnosis, you will know without a doubt that this is not, that this thing you're going through is not your true reality, okay? It's not your true reality. It is a mere perception, a perception that you're striving to no longer allow to captivate or trap you within its psychological or emotional clutches. I hope that all made sense, okay? And right now, most of us are captivated by the ego's reality. And the ego's reality is centered mostly and how we are being affected by what is happening in the material world. Okay? The ego acts on the paradigm that physical phenomena is real, and faith in God still has to be proven. Okay, let me say that again. The ego acts on the paradigm that physical phenomenon is real, and faith in God has to be proven. So in a sense, our ego is agnostic, because our ego does not yet know that God is real, okay? Instead, it has at best an intellectual translation of faith, okay? So the ego, yes, working in with our intellect, we have an intellectual translation of faith. This is how faith should look and work in my life. Rather than an unshakable application of faith, an application that comes from a deep inner knowing that God is real and present in our life and affairs. As Jesus said in John 4:10, you heard me use this verse a lot, if you only knew the gift of God, okay? If we only knew the gift of God, we would no longer allow ourselves to be captivated, entrapped by our perceptions of reality. The Gnostic, through the practice of living the conscious, ever-awakening life, develops a deeply personal inner knowing of God in his or her life that transcends all physical appearance and all perceptions of the ego's reality. Okay? And that's what we're striving to move to. As it's written in Psalms 119, 59 through 60. It says, I have considered my ways. I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. Your statutes mean your laws, your way of being. Okay? I will hasten and not delay to obey your commandments. Let me say that again.
Commandments.
Commands. Thank you, sweetie. Commands. I have considered my ways. I've looked at how I am, how I am being, how I'm showing up, and have turned my steps towards your statutes, your laws, your commandments, okay, your what I'm understanding God to be, okay? And I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. And I did actually say commandments, but it's, you know, basically the same idea, all right? So a person who wishes to live the Gnostic life, okay, begins by realizing that the only thing that is real are the statutes or the laws of God, the laws of the universe, okay? I'm expanding on that again, so I don't want us to get caught up in a mindset that there is something anthropomorphic that has these laws. We're talking about the laws of the universe, okay? And these laws of the universe, the ones we know by heart, are faith, peace, love, and joy, okay? And the evolving Gnostic holds on to these divine attributes through every experience, striving to not project his or own perceptions, but instead remain open to an ever-evolving awareness of the presence of God in his or her life. Okay, and in Psalm 27, 1 through 3, we read the words of David on how to remain steadfast on the path. Okay, this is on how to remain steadfast on the path when all kinds of other stuff is trying to knock you off the path. And this is how David put it. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Okay. The Lord is my light and my salvation. With that, who am I going to fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And when the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. And though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. And again, that's a powerful verse to work with to understand, how do I stay focused, you know, when all this stuff is happening in my life, okay? And in essence, you know, reaching the state of gnosis is our destiny. But before we reach this state of gnosis or knowing, I believe we have periods of being agnostic. And again, an agnostic does not deny the existence of God, but holds that one cannot know for certain whether or not God truly exists. Now, see if that registers at all with you. There might be things that you have been going through or are going through that you're wondering, does God really exist? Okay, in that thinking process, your ego is a little bit in the realm of being an agnostic as opposed to agnostic, one who absolutely knows, a Gnostic, versus one who is questioning, and that's an agnostic. And if you want to determine whether or not you have periods in your life where you are demonstrating being agnostic, think to yourself whether or not you trust the physical over the spiritual. Consider whether or not you have some faith in things, you have more faith in things seen than unseen. This is the common way of the ego. It places its faith in things seen because it does not have absolute, unshakable faith in things unseen. And it often questions whether or not God really exists. And even if you don't remember ever saying to yourself, I don't think God exists, you have to look at your actions to see whether or not your actions are agnostic as opposed to being Gnostic. And yes, we are true believers in the power and presence of God. We are. We are true believers in the power and presence of God. But we have not yet fully made the shift from intellectual knowing to spiritual knowing. You see, the challenge with intellectual knowledge is that it is not firsthand knowledge. It's knowledge we acquired from someone or somewhere else, a book we read, person we listened to, whatever. So we hold a body of knowledge to be real because we received it from external sources that we consider to be an authority on the subject. Okay, even what I'm sharing with you now, you know, you're hearing it is secondary knowledge. It doesn't really mean anything until you have experience with it and it becomes yours for real. So, but our intellectual secondhand knowledge remains secondhand knowledge again until we have firsthand experience with it. So, for example, it's like being told that prayer works, okay, and you accept that as being the truth. But it remains secondhand knowledge until you have an actual firsthand experience with it. When you have an actual experience with faith working in your life, then it is no longer secondhand knowledge. As a sensei to the student in the movie Electra, I don't know if you saw that movie Electra, but that's what the sensei said. Some lessons can be taught. Oh, I'm sorry, let me take that back. Some lessons cannot be taught. Some lessons cannot be taught. They have to be lived to be understood. So how do we shift from the reality of our ego? Okay, that's a big one. Remember, the ego has a hard time jumping out of the ego. So how do we shift from the reality of the ego to the reality that is God? Well, we must choose a different paradigm. Okay, I'm just going to get a little bit scientific for a minute. We must choose a different paradigm. In the book, From Science to God, by Peter Russell, this is a statement that he made about that concept. He said, our scientific paradigms are based on the assumption that the physical world is the real world. It is believed that when we fully understand the functioning of the physical world, we will be able to explain everything in the cosmos. See, that's kind of like a backward process. But anyway, this is the belief upon which our scientific paradigms are based. It is therefore more than just another paradigm. It's a meta-paradigm. The paradigm behind the paradigm. So let's talk about that. So physical reality is the metaphysical paradigm of our mind, okay, causing us to look to the world for solutions to our problems and sources for our happiness. Okay, that's what we look to. We look for the world's going to give us a solution to our problem, and the world's going to give us ways to stimulate us to be happy. This is the basis of the thinking of the agnostic, who believe that only perceptual phenomena are objects of exact knowledge. Again, seeing is believing. That's the agnostic. Simply meaning if you cannot detect it with your five senses, you cannot be sure it exists. The Gnostic, however, operates under a different paradigm. One who is striving to know God as first cause, okay, the first power. As one of my affirmations that I use, God is first in my life. And as we're revealing to me the orderly process of my life, God is first in my life and is revealing to me the orderly process of my life. Not life itself, what's happening out here, not revealing to me, but God is first in my life and is revealing to me the orderly process of my life. Okay? So first cause, that which underlies all existence. A Gnostic comes to know that there is a truth. A Gnostic comes to know that there is a truth that transcends the reality of the ego. There is a truth that transcends the reality of the ego. The meta-paradigm of the Gnostic is there is only one power and one presence in the universe that is active in my life and affairs, God, the good omnipotent. And for the Gnostic, this is the paradigm that transcends all other paradigms. Okay. So Arthur Schopenhauer, German philosopher, who lived back in 1788 to 1860. This is what he says. Every truth passes through three stages before it is recognized. In the first stage, it is ridiculed. In the second stage, it is opposed. And in the third stage, it is regarded as self-evident. Okay? So we have all probably experienced hearing ourselves ridiculing and opposing some of the teachings of Jesus as being impractical and not applicable in today's world. We may still feel today like the disciples in John 6:60, that upon hearing Jesus' teachings, and many of you know this verse, many of the disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept this?" And some of those disciples left him because they couldn't get it, what he was trying to teach. But again, that's the thinking of the agnostic, the person who is stuck in the ego's perception of reality, it doesn't allow the person come out of that and have a divine experience, okay? How can I put this? It's sort of like not allowing, when we don't allow ourselves to have the divine experience, it brings one face to face with the truth that God is present and active in my life and affairs. That's what I'm trying to get at, okay? So how do I get out of that point where I can have the faith to allow this divine within me to lead me through a process so that I can become face to face with the truth that God is present and active in my life and affairs? To experience a shift from agnostic, one who doesn't know, to gnostic, one who knows, and enter into the third stage where the truth, true reality is self-evident, you must diligently practice letting go of your ego's perception of reality. And you do that by realizing that there is another reality that transcends your own, that transcends even what you're experiencing. Right? This is how Ernest Holmes expresses it in Science of Mind magazine. This is yesterday, Saturday, that I got this from. Oh, go back one. Thank you. Okay. So no greater good can come to you than to know that the power already exists within you is the power to live, the power to create. Not only to create for yourself, but for others. The power to do good, the power to heal, the power to prosper. That is what is already within us. Okay. And I'm going to end with another Science of Mind magazine affirmation for us to just contemplate this coming week. All right? And it says, go one more, sweetie. Okay. I have confidence in life. I trust the universe. I look for the good, and I praise and give thanks for it. And so it is. All right? And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So let's become still in our bodies and allow all aspects of our being to relax. We may proceed by closing our eyes, or if you wish, you may just gaze downward. So take a deep breath and fully release it. Once again, take that full breath in and slowly release it. Now continue your rhythmic breathing and in your mind silently affirm, "My life is in divine order, and my world is in divine order." As you continue to relax, feel your neck and shoulders relaxing and letting go of any tension you may be experiencing. And now please take the following words as your very own. Gracious Spirit, the second I realize I am letting myself be drawn into any disorder around me, I know to become quiet. Then I give my full attention to you. Out of my quiet time, a realization of calm rises within me. The people, noise, and confusion that seemed right in my face have retreated. I feel such a relief that I breathe easier. I begin to relax and I feel the tension in my arms and shoulders melt away. Fully conscious of you, I recognize that your order is continually supporting me. My responsibility is to be aware of the order that is here and to flow with it. This is such a wonderful surrender. I'm giving up worry and stress and allowing myself to be immersed in your order and peace. And now we move to a space in consciousness without the sound of my voice and become fully immersed in the language of peace. Please use the next few moments as you wish in the silence. You may pray and receive answers to your prayers, or just remain in this holy instant of divine order. My life is brought back into focus through the power of the intention of my prayers. I breathe deeply now as I return my attention to my surroundings. Thank you for these few moments of a divine connection with you. We are grateful in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and forever shall be. Amen. When you are ready, you may now open your eyes and rejoin us.
That was great to hear. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our lives to flow into our spiritual home. We give thanks for all of the wonderful donations that you've been sending to us. And we ask you to join us as we bless those donations. We ask you to hold your donation in your hand, in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, as we say our affirmation together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. All right, and you have light notes?
Yes. So next Sunday, November the 14th, during the Zoom Fellowship, we will have a remembrance service. This is a time to come together to acknowledge the loss and grief we have collectively experienced during the past year and a half. There will be readings, uplifting music, meditation, and an opportunity to light a candle for our loved ones and the world. Please have an electronic candle with you. The Book Light Book Club will be meeting on Sunday, November the 14th, from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss the book, Stillness is the Key by Ryan Holiday. Check the links in your updates and your e-newsletter. You are invited to join or connect with your Unity family on Saturday, November the 20th from 1 to 3 p.m. We will meet outside of the Ken Hill building wearing our masks and socially distancing. It'll be great to see everyone. At this time, you may get your free Advent booklets and Unity calendars. Additional booklets and calendars are available for $1 each. If you are unable to attend, please let us know if you want a booklet and or a calendar, and we will get them to you. That's it for the announcements.
All right. So now it is time to bless the path.
Yes, let us bless the path that we walk this week by affirming our, saying our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right, and right into our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us.
I am power.
The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So, it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We hope to see you in Zoom right after this. Other than that, have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
All right.